going to try something a little bit different. So a nice way to get out from behind the pulpit and just enjoy some intimate time together as a faith family as we think through and the grandeur of what Jesus did on that Christmas night. So if you will, if you have your copy of the scriptures, there's actually not going to be anything on the screen. So if you do want to follow along in your copy of the scriptures, we're going to be in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 14. John chapter 1, 1 to 14. Hear the very word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray together. Lord God, what you came to do is so beyond our imagination. In this short time that we have together, help us to take a story that is familiar, that for some of us, depending on how long we have been a Christian, sometimes feel ordinary, and yet make it extraordinary. Help us to stand in awe of your coming, and help us to fully understand all that you have done for us as our great God, our great King, and our great Savior. And it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. So back in 2004, my friend Nick and I, we were on the way to visit some friends in northern Minnesota, and it was nighttime. It was the dead of winter. It was dark, cold, icy, and we were driving on these roads that were so remote. It's kind of one of those roads where there's like about a house, like roughly every 5 miles. If you've been on one of those roads, you know what I'm talking about. And as we were driving, I remember we were coming around this corner, admittedly probably a little fast. And as we came around this corner, all of a sudden we hit this patch of ice and we went straight into a ditch. And now maybe if we'd been better prepared, you know, my dad always said have sand in your car. We didn't have that. He also said always have a shovel. We didn't have that. He also said always have good tires. We didn't have that. So had we had all of those things, maybe we could have gotten out of the ditch. But unfortunately, we didn't. And we were stuck, which meant that our only option was to walk. I didn't like it either. Yeah. So what we did is we got our coats on. We also since we were visiting some friends and spending the night, we happened to have some sleeping bags, so we grabbed those as well. And we began down this trek down a dark road that seemed utterly devoid of life. And now, if I had to guess, we probably weren't walking that long, but at that time, it felt like we were walking for miles without any hope of being found or finding civilization. And so you can imagine our joy when we finally saw this pair of headlights coming towards us. This truck stops, this nice man, he picks us up, and he drives us to this bar that really was this middle of nowhere bar. And he drove us there so that we could call somebody to come and pick us up. You see, for us, the light of those headlights shining through the darkness, it became the great hope of our rescue that night. Because if that man hadn't come, we didn't have the right clothes, we didn't have the right equipment to endure that cold winter night. You know, this Christmas Eve, there is another rescuing light that we've come here to celebrate. The light of Christ that came to earth. Because he came not merely to rescue us from this cold night in the woods, right? He came to do more than that. But he came to redeem us. To redeem us from sin and from an eternity of darkness and despair in a real place that we don't like to talk about. But it's a real place called hell. And yet, as magnificent as this truth is, the story of Christ, right, told time and time again, year after year, unfortunately for some of us, because we've heard it so often, for some of you, and you've heard it since you were tiny little kids. And yet it grows kind of stale sometimes, doesn't it? It grows kind of dull. It's almost like the more familiar that we become with Christ and his work in the world, the more that we take for granted how spectacular he is, really along with the events surrounding his coming. And so tonight, in this short time that we have together, I want to briefly walk us through the opening words of John's gospel, and to do this as a way to really, I would say, get reacquainted of the Christ of the Incarnation. Getting familiar, getting reacquainted with who he is, but then also what he came to do. And it's my hope that as we listen to this, as we hear these words tonight, that we're going to leave here with more than just a mere head knowledge. Because he deserves to be worshipped. He deserves to be worshipped with awe and with wonder as our great God, who did this amazing thing by taking on frail humanity so that he could be the one and true light of the world. And so with that, let's start then. Let's start where John starts. And where John starts is he starts by telling us who Jesus really is. And so in the first verses of John 1, there are a few things that we learn about Jesus. One, we learn that he is the Word. And now that's actually meant to be a proper term for Jesus actually throughout the book of John, but it actually comes from the Greek word logos. And logos really points to this idea of the spoken word of God, and with it, the divine power by which the universe is ordered. And so Jesus then, he is the very Word and the power of God who brings order to the universe. Have you ever thought about that? That Jesus is the very Word and power of God who brings order to the universe. And as the power of God, we also learn from John that he also existed from the beginning of time, and that everything that we see and everything that we can't see was made by him. In fact, we see his spoken power manifested right at the beginning of the Bible, particularly in Genesis 1, verse 3, when it says, "And God said, let there be light." And what? There was light. Yeah, very good. You know your Bibles, that's good. God, he created and spoke everything into existence through the power of Christ, who is the spoken word of God. But then also, as John says, is God himself. Now that's amazing, right? Like that's an amazing thing that shouldn't be taken for granted. And yet, it's an amazing thing because we actually know about it. And the only reason that we know about it is because Jesus, he actually chose to reveal himself to us. And he did that by becoming the light of the world. And now think about light, right? What does light do? So the first thing light does, one, we know this, is it reveals things, right? Things that are hidden in darkness. So obviously all the lights were on, now a lot of them are off. But when they were all on, we could see everything. It illuminates things. It eliminates darkness. It also helps us to see what's true in the world, right? The only reason that you know what things look like is because there's light to shine upon them to show you what they're really like. It shows you what is true. But then finally, light is an important ingredient in life. Do you realize that light is necessary for most life to exist? And these are also things that are true of Jesus as well. The living and active Word of God, who is also God Himself, He came to expose and do away with the darkness in our hearts. Scripture tells us that He came to light our path, to show us what is true so that we can walk in it. And as the light of the world, He came to give us life and life to the full. Listen to some of these verses. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Again, His light has shone in our hearts to drive out darkness. Or John 8:12 says, "And Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" Again, Jesus illuminates our path to know us how to live and how to walk and what is true in the world. And then finally, in John 10:10, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." And if we go back to John chapter 1, if your kind of hands are in your Bibles or you're looking at those verses, we can see that the apostle actually sums up all of these truths. And he does it in verse 4 by saying this, or writing this, that in Him, that's Christ, was life. And the life was the light of men. Jesus is and came to be the grand light of the world. And John, he goes on to tell us in verse 5 that this light, Jesus being this grand light of the world, that He will not be overcome by the darkness. And that means that evil will not be able to defeat Jesus no matter how hard it tries. And yet at the same time, we know that darkness and evil, that it still exists in people's hearts. And unfortunately, it still causes people to reject Him. As John writes in John chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, he says, "The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him." Now imagine for a moment, kind of going back to that dark road, my friend Nick and I are out there, man, we see those headlights, we're so excited, and then all of a sudden this truck stops, right? He's like, "Hey, man, I'm here to rescue you guys." And we're like, "Nah, that's all right. We're going to wait for someone else. We're going to see if somebody else comes." Do you know what would have happened? We would have been forced to spend the night in the woods because we came to find out from that man that he was the only person that lives on that road. Nobody else. That's a miracle, by the way. Jesus came into the world as the one true light and rescue for all mankind. Right? There was no other substitute. There was no other way that we could be set free from the darkness of evil and sin. There was no other person who could show us who God was and how He ordered His creation and what is true. And there was no one else who could give us life in abundance. Because these things are only found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now realizing that must mean that when Jesus came, right, everybody was like, "Oh, yes, He's finally here," right? Like, I'm so excited. They must have been super excited about Jesus being here. And of course, they must have all rejoiced and believed in Him once they truly realized who He was, right? No, they didn't do that. In fact, John, he tells us quite the opposite. He says that the very Word of God who created everything, that he came into the world and for the most part, like, nobody recognized him, right? Nobody recognized him and nobody believed in him. And unfortunately, this is especially true of his own people group, right? Jesus was born a Jew, and yet he came to his own people group, the Jews, and they didn't believe. They saw him, they heard him, they witnessed his power and his miracles. And really, besides a few of them, they rejected him and his rescue, and they killed him. They chose darkness over his marvelous light. But the good news is that doesn't mean that he failed to accomplish the purposes for which he came, did he? Because despite being rejected by many, including the Jews, and despite dying a criminal's death on the cross, the power of the living God was still working in and through Jesus. And he was doing this to give life and sonship to all who would believe in him. Again, hear John's words in John 1, 12 and 13. He said, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." If you're here tonight and you have put your hope in Jesus as the only one who can free you from the darkness of sin and death, and as the only one who can give you everlasting life, then you have been given this amazing right, according to John. You have given the right of being a child of God. And the good news of the book of John is that this isn't something that you were sort of left to figure out on your own, right? You weren't left to sort of like grope in the world to be like, maybe I might just happen to find Jesus out there. And also because you are his child, right? You aren't left to live this life on your own. Rather, you are a child of God because it says the very power that created the universe, the power of Jesus, the living and active Word of God who is God, he worked in your life to make you his own. Right? It's not by your own will. It says not by the will of man that you are a child of God. It is of God himself. And now that you belong to him, he tells us that he will continue to lead you and to guide you to what is good and what is true. And he's going to do it for the rest of your life because his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you. As John also says in John 16, 13, he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, that's the Holy Spirit, he's going to guide you into all that is true. Now, I recognize that there might be visitors here tonight. Maybe you're here because you're visiting family, and so you decided to come, or maybe, again, somebody invited you to the service and you came. And maybe, as you hear this, maybe you're hearing about Jesus for the first time, or maybe you know about Jesus, but the idea of the living God coming to earth to be the light of the world, maybe that feels a little far-fetched for you. And that's totally okay if you're there. But I want you to know that if you're here tonight, you're here for a reason. And you're here because Jesus, he is calling out to you tonight. He is saying to you, see me for who I really am. Recognize me as the one who can bring order to the chaos of your life. And believe in me as the one who will bring light, truth, and life to your very soul. Because he is the one and the only one who came to save people from the pit of hell, to free them from the bondage of their sin, and to give them a new and forever life that can never be taken away from them. And the good news is, and the amazing thing is, that he did it, and this is amazing to think about this, he did it not by shouting from the rooftops. You ever thought about that? The God of the universe, he didn't do it by like making this grand procession, right? There wasn't some parade from heaven where all of a sudden, if you've ever seen the animated version or the live action version of Aladdin, right? He didn't come in like Aladdin, right? With his big parade of people. He didn't He didn't do that. Instead, he came humbly, and he came quietly. And he quietly and humbly left the glories of heaven to become a frail human so that he could dwell with us and we with him. He became flesh for us. As John writes in John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Again, as much as we like the warm feelings that come from these great depictions of the nativity scene, and in fact, I have one in my front yard, right? I've got one of those blow molds of Mary and Joseph and little baby Jesus. Unfortunately, my baby Jesus won't light up. I don't know why. So some short or something like that. But we like seeing those things, don't we? They kind of bring warm feelings to our heart. And a lot of times it might bring warm feelings just because it makes us think of a time gone by. Maybe it makes us think of our childhood. Or maybe it's just this sweet image of like, oh, baby Jesus lying in the manger. Everything's calm, peaceful, sweet, all of those things. And yet as we think about that scene, again, we often forget how radical it actually was. I mean, no other religion would dare say that their God became a man, that their God lived as a man, and then their God died as a man. But that's exactly what Jesus did as our God. In fact, Paul, he writes about this in the book of Philippians. He says in Philippians 2:5-8, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Jesus, he humbled himself by being born to a human family and by living as a person who was, yes, fully God. We believe that. And yet on the other side, he was fully man, full of the same frailties and weaknesses that befall all of us as human beings. And the good news of Christmas is that he did it so that he could be the light of the world, that he could bring life to those who put their hope in him and his finished work on the cross. And so this story, which is anything but ordinary, it should never, ever grow cold or even familiar in our hearts. Instead, it should cause us to stand in awe of Jesus. It should cause us to love Jesus. And it should cause us to live with a joy-filled hope in Jesus. Because we know that the Word of God, God Himself, humbly and joyfully came to earth so that He could live and die. And in so doing, could be the very light of our salvation. Listen to these closing words from 1 Peter 1:8-9. "Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Let's pray. Jesus, it is so easy to take for granted what you came to do. It is so easy to forget how radical of an act it is that you, the King of Glory, left your kingdom to come to this frail world, to become a frail human. And yet you did it not only for your own glory, but you did it as an act of love so that you could redeem a people for yourself. And as we are here tonight, again, we are benefactors of that great and radical act of love. And so, Lord, help us to just worship you as the grand God that you say that you are. Help us to love you as the one who loved us by giving yourself for us. And yet help us to follow you as our great King, knowing that your way is what is best and leads to true life, true peace, and true and everlasting joy forever and ever. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.